The rivalry between a father and son can be particularly challenging, especially when a father and son share the same job, also the same name, and the son had it first. Author and journalist Mark Cram Jr. has edited Great Men Die Twice, an anthology of the writing of his father, Mark Cram, best known for his time at Sports Illustrated in the 1960s and 70s. Mark Cram Jr., welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here.
How did your father come to share your name?
Well, it's a long story. He had something of an identity crisis as a young man growing up in East Baltimore. He was called Sonny. He was called Otts. Even when he played in minor league baseball, he sort of started calling himself Randy because he thought it made him run faster. He's got a point because, you know, you see an awful lot of lead-footed Georges out there and not too many lead-footed Randys. When I was born, my mom named me Mark because she liked the name Mark. And Dad saw me lying there in the crib, and instead of taking my rattle, he took my name. So basically, it caused a great collision between us over the years.
Before we go any further, I want to establish for our listeners what a great and worthy idea it was to collect the best of your father's writing. Would you please read for us the end of the February 1975 Sports Illustrated story titled The One-Minute Angels? It closes with the account of the death of a boxing trainer named Charlie Goldman.
I'll be glad to. At the end of his life at 85, Charlie lived alone in one room on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. The fixtures of his work were all over the room, Q-tips, beat-up satchels, old chewed-up mouthpieces with a thin coat of dust. He used to sit there, his gnarled little hands clasped, and speak of Rocky Marciano. "I was the trainer of Rocky Marciano," he liked to say. He was not being boastful. He just wanted to make sure it was part of the record, for that was all he had left. And then one day they found him in his room, dead and wearing an old robe of Rocky's. Greater love hath no trainer.
A lot of people know your father wrote brilliantly about some of the fights in which Muhammad Ali was involved, but is it fair to say that your father was drawn to obscure figures as well?
Yeah, he liked to think he was always poking in corners, the dark corners of sports, looking for characters. You're there by yourself, and all your courage and your manhood is exposed for all to see. And it really resonated deeply with him. Dad was a kind of a lonely guy. He was inward-looking most of his life.
Your dad had been one of the stars at Sports Illustrated for some time. What were the circumstances that led to his leaving the magazine?
He had been drinking heavily, and he had financial difficulties. His marriage to my mother had fallen apart. He got involved with Don King, the boxing promoter. King had wanted to become involved in Hollywood. He wanted to produce films. And Dad had taken some money from King to do a treatment on Battling Siki, the old fighter. Dad was of the belief that it wouldn't affect how he wrote about King in the magazine. And in fact, he was very tough on King in the magazine throughout the years. But, you know, that's an ethical breach. You can't be involved in a business relationship with somebody you're writing about.
In a recent piece for the New York Times, you write, "Even under ordinary circumstances, lugging around the same name as your father is problematic." Tell us about some of the problems.
Well, it's like if Dustin Hoffman had a son and named him Dustin Hoffman. You know, he had a big name at a time when Sports Illustrated was, you know, the biggest publication in the country. When he took my name, he solved his own identity crisis. Mine was only beginning. You know, it was like I fooled around with all sorts of variations to put some distance between us. My middle initial, G, Mark G. Cram. I used M. G. Cram. Dad even suggested that I assume some Austrian nobility and put a von in there, Mark von Cram. I think he was loaded that night when he said that. But I actually seriously considered it at one point. I mean, I was really, my career was just beginning. And yet I was carrying around this name that had a bit of tarnish on it.
Elsewhere in that New York Times piece, you write, and again I'm quoting, "I was by turns proud of what he had accomplished and furious at how he had squandered it."
Yes.
Was your father aware of that ambivalence?
I'm sure he was. you know, I spoke candidly with him over the years. He was sensitive, I think, to the situation I was in, but we didn't really talk about it too much. And we didn't talk about my writing either. In fact, I had no sense that he had even read any of my work. I mean, I could have been a butcher or sold shoes. I mean, we just didn't talk about my writing. And then the interesting thing is, though, that after he died, I came into possession of all his boxes of papers and things. At the bottom of one, there was about 60 or 70 pieces that I'd written, all wow. in a stack, in a folder. And, you know, I get chills even thinking of it. So he was paying attention. But, you know, he did me a great service by not getting too involved in my work. He understood that you sort of have to find your own way in writing, in the creative arts.
Mark Cram Jr. is the author of Like Any Normal Day, and he has edited Great Men Die Twice, the selected works of Mark Cram, who is, of course, his father. You can find an excerpt from the latter book at onlyagame.org. Mark, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.